We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the PHNX D-backs podcast right here on PHNX. My name is the Mayor of PHNX, occasionally known as Derek Montilla. This guy over here is the Thunderstick, the Vice Mayor, the one and only Jesse Friedman. Jesse, what's happening?
Derek, we've been in here for, what, 3-4 minutes, something like that, mm-hmm. and Jacob is already making fun of my facial hair. So,
it's understandably,
it's longer than the other day when it only took like 30 seconds for that to happen. So
I know. Well,
another day at the office.
Look, the longer that we do this thing together, the more efficient we're going to get at making fun of each other. So he doesn't take a long time to beat around the bush about it. He just gets right to it. Of course, this show is brought to you by the fine folks at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Go download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use our code of PHNX. Get down on the action. You'll get a risk-free bet up to $1,000 for new customers. And of course, the DraftKings Sportsbook app is the top-rated sportsbook app. We thank you for being here, you guys. Hello, family. Elizabeth, I thank you for the acknowledgement of my wonderful hat. Even though it doesn't really match, I'm all right.
It's really close.
It's so close, but then it's just off enough.
It does clash
me
a little bit, but I actually think you kind of pull it off anyway.
Here's the thing, is Jesse sent me a list of television shows that he's actually watched that we might have in common.
It's not a very long list,
but I'm very excited about it. And of course, the first show I gravitated to was Parks and Rec, which, of course, I'm wearing the Leslie Knope today in honor of my friend Jesse watching a television show. So, and we'll get around, of course, it's Mailbag Monday. We'll get around to your questions soon enough. But we have a big question for the Arizona Diamondbacks right now, and that is, are you maybe starting to regret parting ways with Jake Lamb? Just a little? I don't know. What do you think, Jesse?
I mean, we love Jake Lamb around here.
We do.
But the guy is on his fourth team in the last 2 years.
He is.
So this is not, this is not like the Robbie Ray situation where you feel like the moment he left, he became a different player.
Yeah, Robbie Ray was different because I think we were just talking about this before we got on air, and I felt like Robbie Ray was going to be what he became. Maybe not as good as
he
reached.
Did you really, though?
I did, because I really enjoyed watching Robbie Ray here.
So you didn't lose faith after all those years watching Robbie Ray guy after guy.
He always had a ton of strikeouts, right? He always had a ton of strikeouts. It was merely about getting the walks under control, which led to him being inefficient, which led to him not lasting in a game longer than five innings, right? But it's not like the stuff wasn't there.
No, the stuff was absolutely there. That was never a problem for Robbie Ray. His stuff was outstanding.
See, but when we look at someone like Corbin Martin's last start, for instance, I can understand being a bit discouraged, because even though the results were generally not terrible, watching the game, it made me a little bit concerned about Corbin Martin's stuff. Like, we give him the thing about, like, it was his first time pitching in 10 days and stuff like that. So, like,
sure,
I'm not...
Keep it in perspective.
I'm not holding one game, as a complete example of where he's at, but it just as an example in that game, it's concerning that he didn't seem to have, really stuff to get guys out or make guys look like they were having a hard time picking up on what he was throwing.
I think a lot of it for Corbin Martin has to do with like really trusting that his stuff is good enough. And that's a common thing, right? Like if you're, if you're a 22, 23 year old, or I guess Corbin Martin's a little bit older, he's 26 now, with all the injury issues he's had for the last few years. But like, if you haven't really pitched in the major leagues, you're naturally going to go through this process of just kind of wondering, like, does my stuff play here? Like, does my stuff that was effective in AAA, does it work against big league hitters? And you don't really know until you try, right? And some guys are just naturally confident and they naturally believe in their stuff. the moment they step on a big league field. I'm not sure that's the case for Corbin Martin. I think he needs a little bit of time to realize that his stuff, I do think, will play at the big league level, but it's going to take a little bit more belief on his part, a little bit more conviction throwing his stuff in the strike zone. He seemed a little bit tentative in the game yesterday, and it led to a lot of, and I just think his control was off. I mean, I don't know if it was all him being afraid to throw strikes. I think his control was off in that game.
And that it was for sure. It was an unintentional, intentional walk to Juan Soto both times. So if you take those two out of there, right?
Like, I think they were both four pitches, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, he wanted no part of Juan Soto, which is, it's fair. I mean, hard to blame him, right?
Right. But we are spying on our exes, as we talked about, to lead off the show. And of course, the subject of this week's spying on our exes is our friend Jake Lamb, who actually has been having quite a resurgence with the Los Angeles Dodgers, and you hate to see it. Not because Jake Lamb is having a resurgence, it's that it's with the Dodgers. That's the part that you hate to see. But what are your thoughts so far on what Lamb's doing?
I think you're right. Like, if this were happening with like the Cleveland Guardians or something, it'd be like, man,
it would be such a good story.
Go Jake Lamb, get it. But Jake Lamb batted cleanup yesterday for the Dodgers and was 2-for-4 with two doubles.
Cleanup. Did you hear that? For the Los Angeles Dodgers. Yeah. That's craziness.
And it's a small sample. I mean, he's only played 17 games for them, but he's slugging .525. He has an .887 OPS. It's pretty good, but it's such a small sample. Like, you don't really know if this is for real or sustainable yet, so we need to see more of that. But it's been a pretty good start for him at the big league level.
I think the small sample size is important when it comes to baseball, because we've seen that out of the Arizona Diamondbacks. If you took small snapshots of this team at times, I think there would be a lot of people wondering how this team isn't in more of a playoff contention at this point.
I mean, Carson Kelly's been like Barry Bonds for the last
Kelly over the last basically month has been the best catcher in baseball, right? Offensively, Jacob was giving us that one.
That's correct. He's got the highest OPS out of any backstop since June 26th.
See? He's back, baby.
That's impressive.
Well, and what's more impressive is, once again, I'm sure there's more to it than he wanted to answer in a post-game, you know, question kind of situation, right? But for him to kind of sit there and say, like, all of his struggles early on were just him mentally and being able to acknowledge that. He talked about pressing, which is something that we, you know, we kind of see from these guys at times, especially with runners in scoring position or big, you know, kind of the game on the line. We don't really see that that same cool collective at bat that we normally see. You know, Christian Walker in the loss to the Nationals was a perfect example of that, when he kind of grounded out. I think it was the first pitch, grounded out and did an inning double play with the bases
loaded.
That was
a rough moment yesterday. Bases loaded, nobody out, and three pitches later, the inning was over. Not great.
Not ideal at all. Right. They needed Jake Lamb, who is batting .250 right now, to be around to knock some runs in. But again, I think it's baseball, so we're always going to have these guys. Like, there are more guys that leave this team that don't have success than do, right? But when it comes to someone like Jake Lamb, who was an all-star for this team, once again, I think you have to kind of it's hard not to root for him. Even in a Dodgers uniform, it's hard not to.
He was just such a likable player.
He really was.
Like, everyone loved Jake Lamb.
They brought an actual lamb into the clubhouse.
They did.
They brought an actual lamb into the clubhouse. They made a bobblehead of it. It's incredible. But, you know, I think, you know, Diamondbacks fans, unfortunately, and I saw some people talking about this, we are one of those franchises that at times isn't going to get to hold on to the superstars of this team, right? It's the reason why, you know, as much as we love Zach Gallen, we should enjoy him while he's here and not be too upset in the inevitable chance that he leaves to go somewhere else. I've already seen people talking about it with our young players that haven't even get called up yet, and I need you to stop doing that. Let's not put the sadness before the happiness, right? I don't want to talk about Drew Jones already like opting out of his contract at the end of his contract. Like, so it's crazy talk. All right, let's just pump the brakes on it. But
wow, Alex is bringing up wins above replacement numbers over here. Jake Lamb is 0.1 F4, Rojas 1.9, Walker 2.0. Hope he does well, but I think we are.
I like it, Alex Meeks. That's the way to think. But
I tweeted this out yesterday, Derek. I was the one who kind of initiated this, like, oh, what's up with Jake Lamb sort of thing with the Dodgers. And I posted a clip of him doubling in the game yesterday. And really the reason I posted the clip is his batting stance is noticeably different.
It is.
He's crouched down a little bit more. It's not as upright of a stance as it used to be in his D-backs days. And people were just angry. Like, people in the comments were accusing me of trying to make it look like, you know, Jake Lamb was another Max Scherzer, or Jake Lamb was another Robbie Ray, or something like that.
We're not going that far.
Which it's just so different, right? I mean, Jake Lamb has bounced around from so many teams the last few years. A lot of teams have tried and have struggled to help him figure things out. And really, ever since he had that shoulder surgery when he was a Diamondback, he just hasn't really been the same guy. So this is not a situation where, you know, the moment a guy leaves the Diamondbacks, suddenly they figure everything out. It's pretty different from a lot of the other stories.
And like you said,
other stories.
It's been, what, four teams since then? So,
yeah.
And he struggled the entire time.
Right.
I think it's more of a, it's a credit to Jake Lamb for sticking with it and getting to this point, getting an opportunity with the Dodgers in their system and earning a right to come up and now bat cleanup. I mean, it's not that same situation, and there's going to be few of those Max Scherzer, Robbie Ray, you know, comparisons out there, because there's just not that many guys to go on to have greatness after they leave this team. You know, you can't say that about Paul Goldschmidt, because we knew how great he was. I feel like he's just getting the recognition now for how great he is. But you know, of course, Alex Meeks brings up in the comments as well Drury, and Brandon Drury is another name that was brought up this season. He's been playing excellent baseball with the Reds, and of course, you know, there's that same connection as well to the Diamondbacks that they may have given up on him too early. But, you know, you can't really do that when these guys have bounced around so much and then finally found a place that gave them an opportunity that they capitalized on. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I really don't think this is a bearing on the Diamondbacks whatsoever. Okay. Trivia question, Derek. Do you think you could name the teams that Jake Lamb has played on between Diamondbacks and the Dodgers? There are three of them. My bet is that most people probably have no idea, and that's kind of my point, is that it's not like Jake Lamb was you know, instant notoriety the moment he left Arizona, right? Nobody even really knows what he's been up to. Can you name the three teams? Do you have any idea?
I can name the Oakland A's for sure.
Okay.
Right?
That was the first team.
I remember seeing him in an Oakland A's jersey and all of that.
Last year there were two teams. The Oakland A's was 2020.
Okay.
2021 there were
last
two teams.
Last year the White Sox.
White Sox is the first one. And then he didn't last too long in Chicago.
I couldn't even tell you the other one. I couldn't even begin to tell you.
We do not. Okay.
We got the A's and the White Sox.
Nobody said it in the comments.
Anybody
yet.
In the comments? The Blue Jays.
The Blue Jays.
The Blue Jays.
There you go.
The Blue Jays.
I'm impressed, Derek. That was well done.
It's Jake Lamb, right? So it's like, I remember every time I saw that a noteworthy moment came up that he was on a new team or something.
Yeah.
I just, especially with those kind of guys, there's just certain guys, especially when they were starters, it's hard not to keep an eye on someone that was formerly an all-star for this team, right?
Yeah.
It's not like he was just another player. He was going to be one of our great players on this team, you know.
Yeah, he was supposed to be like the third baseman of the future, right? I mean,
yeah.
He came up when he was like 23 years old, and there was quite a bit of hype there. So,
sure.
Well done, Kevin. Well done, Kevin.
Kevin
we see
said
you.
It.
Kevin right. also said it.
Kevin Johnson.
Yeah. Anyone who can
Mayor
name
Kevin Johnson? Just no, I'm just throwing that out there.
Anyone who can name those three teams, I am very impressed by, because Jake Lamb has just. He hit 129 with the Blue Jays. He hit 212 with the White Sox. He actually was good for Oakland immediately after he left the Diamondbacks. But it was 13 games. It was an incredibly small sample size, and he couldn't repeat it when he came back the next year. So there didn't seem to be a whole lot there.
Well, if you guys are interested in getting more information from this brain over here, make sure to sign up for a membership at gophnx.com. You're not already a member, sign up for an annual membership. You'll get yourself a free t-shirt from the phnxlocker.com. You also get members only discounts at that same phnxlocker.com, no matter what your membership status is, as well as members only access to our Discord, which is the best place to be. If you're not interested in the annual membership, you can get yourself a month-to-month membership for just 50 cents. Regardless of your membership status, you get access to the wonderful writings of Jesse Friedman, who has been killing it lately when it comes to the baseball content. So make sure to check out gophnx.com. If you're watching us right now on the YouTube channel, we appreciate you guys being here, spending your lunch with us. Make sure to subscribe. Leave us a little thumbs up like thing there down at the bottom. I guess that helps with stuff. I don't know anything about websites or technology or whatever, but subscribe, sign up for notifications. That way you don't miss when we go live. If you're listening to us right now on your favorite audio podcasting app, make sure to subscribe to us there. If you haven't done so already, leave us a 5-star review. It would help us out so much. You guys have done an excellent job helping us out so far. We can't thank you enough for getting us. We got over 4,000 followers on Twitter, and that was huge for us. We are excited. And so we're holding up our end of the bargain. This little guy is being given away. That's right. This is the way, because following us is the way. That's definitely the way. So we're going to do a little contest to give that away to one lucky winner. And we appreciate you guys so much for getting us there. And of course, we appreciate you guys on Monday more than any day. It's not like we appreciate you less other days, but Mondays is all about you, because of course, every week on this show is Shark Week. Every day is Earth Day. And every Monday we go to the mailbag. Always something interesting in my mailbox. I try to get to everything in my mailbox. And then once in a while, there's a letter that makes me go, wow, wow, my mailbox. We got a lot of questions. So
we have a lot.
Jacob, let's get to it. First question, sir.
Okay, we're going off of the Twitter questions. First, in response to your tweet that you put out, let's start with a fun one from Don's Brad. This is specifically for you, Derek.
Oh.
What movie or TV show do you think Jesse should watch that he clearly hasn't?
Where do I start? Where do I start? Oh, that's an open canvas.
That's a very open canvas. This is a very dangerous question.
This is a dangerous question. I think I would have Jesse go with some classics, some film classics that I consider to be film classics. Okay. Things that I'm surprised people haven't seen. So, like, you strike me, of course, as not having seen the most basic of movies, right?
Oh, that's probably fair.
Have you seen the Back to the Future trilogy?
You know, I have seen, I definitely saw the first one.
Okay.
And I believe I saw the second one.
Okay.
But I have definitely not seen all three of them.
All right. I'd probably have him start on that.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I feel like just because I had to do it, everyone should have to do it. I might have you watch just every episode of Lost. I don't know.
Okay.
That's a gigantic waste of time. But I feel like, again, other people should have to do it too because of how invested I was in it. I think John Hughes movies would probably be a good thing to tap into. Maybe
no idea.
Things from the 80s, like Weird Science. You ever seen Weird Science?
Nope, never seen
Weird
Science.
Oh my God. I think Weird Science, I find that would be very problematic for watching it the first time.
What is Weird Science? I'm a little bit afraid of the title of that movie.
Weird Science is about two college kids who are kind of nerdy and dorky, and they are kind of picked on a bit. So they create a woman in their dorm room, and then they ended up being like the coolest guys on campus because of how incredibly gorgeous this woman was. So
I mean like a
real woman. Like, they create a woman.
Wait,
This is the 80s, Jesse. Like, what? Your rules of science and logic and thought don't apply here, okay? See, this is why this is the perfect movie to start you out on. All right, I'm gonna make some picks, and I'm gonna float them Jesse's way. But first, I think we're going to hold a poll on Twitter for you guys to vote on which movie Jesse should
watch.
These
people are going to relish this opportunity.
Oh, we're going to get them.
This is not good.
Look, I know what you guys do with internet polls. I remember Pitbull being sent to Alaska and everything else you guys did. I love it. So this is like Bodie McBoatface. We're going to see what you guys can do to Jesse and make him watch. We're gonna get some good movies, but there are some classics out there. See, that's the thing is, I would need to know what you haven't seen.
Well, you really don't, Derek. I know.
Like, it's not a long list. I get it. But I love this idea, and we are going. Oh, Chris Melton brought up Real Genius. That is another absolute favorite movie of mine. That probably one of the greatest Val Kilmer movies of all time. So I'm making a list. We're going to put it out to you guys. I'll get some themes going. We'll try to pick one movie out from like the 80s and like an action
movie. I will be faithful. You guys have to educate me, you know?
We're going
to
get this guy.
I need some help here.
We're going to get him to experience some of this stuff that I have experienced in life, at least for sure. And it's so important to me because it's movies and television show and it's entertainment. So and it's the digital age of streaming. We can find all of this stuff so easily. So I'm excited for this. Jacob, let's go to the next question.
Now that I got you worked up, we're going to go back to baseball.
Ah, man.
Who of Merrill Kelly, David Peralta, Christian Walker, and Joe Mantiply are still on the D-backs after the deadline?
Oh, that's a great question. Merrill Kelly is still here for sure.
Yeah, Merrill Kelly, I think, is still here. David Peralta, Christian Walker, Joe Mantiply.
Oof.
David Peralta, almost no way he's still here, honestly.
Yeah.
Be pretty surprised there.
In fact, it would potentially almost be a failure if they didn't move him. Right, because if
I don't know if I would say a failure, because there, well, I mean, there's some merit to having David Peralta just because he's a veteran presence. Oh,
I'm not saying like they need to get rid of David Peralta, but he's a free agent after the end of the season.
Yeah,
right.
You would be letting him walk without getting anything.
That's what I'm talking about.
You're not gonna get much for David Peralta, right? But you could maybe get something.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think Merrill Kelly has the greatest chance of being here. I think Christian Walker has a really damn good chance of still being here.
Probably.
I think that
my guess is the D-backs value Christian Walker a little bit more than other teams will. Yeah. They don't really have another first base. It's a little bit unclear what they would do at that position with Pavin Smith injured. Of course, there are other guys you could definitely plug in at first base. I mean, it's a position that a lot of guys who play elsewhere probably could pick up if they needed to. Jordan Luplo has played some first base in the past, but the first base options, like Clutch Canuck says, are pretty limited. I don't know. Seth Beer is a name that's come up a lot. I don't know if the Diamondbacks really want to see Seth Beer play much defense at first base. I think he's more of a DH. So, I just
want to see Seth Beer here.
Yeah.
By the way, he's been having a pretty good run the last week or so. So it's great to see him back on track as well. And I said in the Discord, again, if you're a PHNX member, you get this kind of access. I'm giving if Seth Beer gets called up, I'm giving a shirt away, a Seth Servatius shirt, to somebody in the Discord. That's happening for sure. Stone Garrett, I'm still waiting to see where he might end up factoring in at a major league level.
Yeah, I do think DH. We'll see him. I do think we'll see him. I mean, Stone Garrett probably could play first base. That is a reasonable fit. The Diamondbacks have a lot of traffic in the outfield, so maybe plugging in Stone Garrett at first base is a way to kind of get around that and get some of the other outfield pieces in. But my guess is Stone Garrett is probably going to stay in the corner outfield when he comes up. But that's certainly a reasonable idea for sure.
Yeah, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility at all. But back to the question, I'm still feeling like, honestly, Mantiply due to his value and Peralta due to his contract might be the two names we see moved out of those four you mentioned.
How would you feel if Joe Mantiply was no longer a Diamondback?
I wouldn't feel great about that. Here's the thing, though. Sometimes in life, unfortunately, the teams have to view these guys like you would view a stock, right? And it's very inhumane.
it's so heartless.
It's so heartless to think of that way, right? But it's a business, baby. It's a business. And I'm just saying, that's the idea at times, is that when they're performing well, if you don't forecast that they're going to be able to maintain that performance, like it's not Apple stock, right? It's not it's not somebody you're signing to a 15-year contract like, you know, Juan Soto, but it's like, it's one of those things that sometimes you might view someone like Joe Mantiply as having reached his peak in the first half of this season. And it's not to say, oh, it's all downhill from here, but he might not return to that same form that we saw in the first half. So this might be the rare opportunity for you to get the biggest return for him as possible at this time. And that's the only reason why I would say that was pretty good.
There's going to be a lot of interest. There's definitely no question about that. Joe Mantiply maybe isn't helping the D-backs out, and that he's been a little shaky here over the last like 2 or 3 weeks, but on the whole, his numbers look really good. So yeah. Joe Mantiply is definitely going to be sought after at the deadline.
For sure. All right, Jacob, next question.
So I'm going to lump together like 15 questions that were in response to your Mailbag Monday tweet.
Sure, do it.
A bunch of people asked about the future of the outfield. So assuming what you guys are saying, David Peralta is traded away, what is the outlook on the future of the outfield going forward? And where does Jake McCarthy fit into that picture?
Just go with it, Jesse. Just fucking say it. Just say it. Just rip the Band-Aid off and say what you think is going to happen with the outfield this season, not next season, not in the future. What's going to happen in August or maybe September?
Oh, you want me to say that thing?
Yeah, say that thing.
Say that thing? Yeah. Okay, well, Corbin Carroll is probably going to get called up at some point.
He said the thing.
At first, I genuinely had no idea what you were talking about. I was like, oh, I get it now. Yeah, Corbin Carroll, I think it is likely we see him this year, just based on the early returns in Reno. The guy, Derek, the guy has walked in more than a quarter of his plate appearances and is still slugging like almost 600 in Reno. So he's just seeing the ball really well there. If a guy is walking like way more than he's striking out like Corbin Carroll is, that's one of the main barometers for what I'd be looking for from him from Reno. So I think that's pretty likely. Yeah, people definitely mentioned Jake McCarthy in particular. I think the D-backs want to see what they have there. We've seen them kind of try to get him in the lineup a little bit more, even against lefties.
He struck out a lot the other night when we were there. Like, and it was bad strikeouts. Like, we were making comments on that. But, of course, it's all about getting him that time this season and seeing where he progresses.
He just hasn't had much opportunity yet. Right. You know, like, they haven't really given him a true opportunity. And so I think they want to really give Jake McCarthy that shot down the stretch. And that's why I have some concerns about the outfield and just like this massive logjam where there's just so many guys. I don't know how they're possibly going to find playing time for everyone.
I'm not worried about that, though, because no offense to Jake McCarthy, he's going to have to earn, you know, that opportunity.
You're not just giving Jake McCarthy the opportunity down the stretch, you don't think?
At this point, I think he's capable to play the position, so that if you wanted to part ways with David Peralta and didn't want to make that drastic of a move of calling Corbin Carroll up, that he would be able to fill in and provide you with probably some pretty damn good defense in the outfield, considering it's left field. It doesn't even have to be that great. And his bat would probably come around substantially if he got regular playing time.
Yeah.
But at this time, I'm done with waiting on these guys that are tearing up double A and triple A and doing all of this stuff. I think the Diamondbacks should be in a position of not worrying about this service time shit and all of this. I get it. I mean, that's a bridge you're going to have to cross down the road. And I get that you want to be as fiscally frugal as possible with these guys, because you do want them in your organization as long as you can keep them for. But to a degree, you're holding them back. You know,
at least with Corbin Carroll, I think you pretty clearly are. Like, it's been like 7 games so far, so we need to see a little bit more from him.
I don't need to see anymore.
Maybe we don't need to see anymore.
No, the answer is clear to me. I like Jake McCarthy, though. I think he's a great player, and I think
he's like a good, like, I don't think Jake McCarthy was ever supposed to be, at least like from scouting reports, I don't think Jake McCarthy was ever supposed to be like, this is your anchor, outfielder, by any stretch. He's more of a fourth outfielder type who offers a lot. Like, as far as fourth outfielders go, not many guys run the bases like he does and play defense like he does. He can play center field, which is a real asset. So I think there's some real potential here for him to stick in the majors. But, you know, whether he's doing that in the lineup every day, not so sure that's going to happen. And there are other guys too. I mean, Dominic Fletcher, I think, is a name that probably deserves to be called up at some point this season. Stone Garrett, like we mentioned earlier.
Dominic Fletcher has been incredible. Yeah, they have a lot of outfielders that are playing extremely well, no matter where they're at.
Yeah, there's too many.
Stone Garrett hit a ball that
went far.
It hit my car, Jesse, and he was like, I think he was in Amarillo, and it hit my car here in Phoenix. It's amazing how far.
That is a real blast.
5,027 feet. I think it's 527 feet, but what does it matter? Once you're over 500 feet, 500, 5,000, it doesn't matter. He hit the goddamn thing to the moon. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And, of course, I can't wait to see that. That's what I can't wait to see is, you know, some of these guys that have that kind of explosiveness. You know, Alec Thomas and Dalton Varsho for now are our outfield as far as I'm concerned. I don't need to move Varsh anywhere else. He's doing fine in right field, and I think he's the guy. Honestly, we've seen him make some incredible plays out there, but
he's a good outfielder.
There's still some questions in left field, you know what I mean? There was that day where David Peralta made a good catch up against the outfield wall, and he had this look towards Alec Thomas and Dalton Varsho. Like,
you mean the day when like all of them made
when they were all, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, he got in on
David
it too.
David Peralta made one and he was like, oh my gosh, we're so cool.
And that was, I think that was it. It was like the other guys, even though they're much younger than David Peralta, totally acted like they've been there before. And David Peralta had this look like, see, I can do it too. Yeah. And like, that's the wild part to me is that he's the most tenured of all of them. And I mean, it was a great play. They were all great plays, but his reaction was pretty telling there, what at least maybe even how he feels comparatively to the, like, they're younger guys that are faster and whatever, right? So he's kind of like, hey, the old guy's keeping up with you and stuff, even though he's what, like in his late 20s, I'm sure.
No, he's 33.
Oh yeah,
I want to say.
Right. I forgot about his
because
whole,
he kind of, you know, he was a little bit of a bit of a late bloomer with everything that he went through beforehand. Incredible story, of course.
But of course, we thank you guys again for your questions on Mailbag Monday. We got some more to get to. We thank our sponsors, our friends over at OG's Gummies. If you haven't had a chance to check them out, try out OG's Gummies at your local dispensary near you. They are Arizona's top-selling gummies. They are flavoring life, and they are all about making their edibles taste delicious while also enjoying the beneficial effects from them as well. So make sure to try out OG's. They have a pina colada flavor that's out of this world. They have an incredible line of flavors. Indica, sativa, hybrid, doesn't matter what you want. They have that covered. They have different doses. So crawl before you walk. Get yourself 3 milligram before if you've never tried them out. See what you think over at OG's Brands. You can find them at OG'sBrands.com or online on Instagram at OG's Brands. That's O-G-E-E-Z Brands. And of course, they are our favorite. They're our favorite. And they are having a party over at the Maya Day Club. Jesse refuses to go to this one because he won't go without me. I'm going to be at Disneyland doing the kind of opposite, like on the wholesome spectrum, the opposite of what, you know, goes down at the Maya Day Club. But
surely that's what holds me back from going to these things.
Oh, I know.
If Jesse wants, only Derek was there to go
only
with me.
Only if Derek could make sure I don't get sunburned at this event. But yeah, if you have a chance, make sure to check out that party at the Maya Day Club. It's an absolute blast on July 30th. That's this weekend. And speaking of things happening this week, we are going to be out at Four Peaks Brewing Company on at their 8th Street Pub in Tempe doing our thing. Not just our thing, all of us here at PHNX. We're all going to be out there at the 8th Street Pub. We are going to bring you these shows. Every show is going to be from there. We are going to, and Jesse is a real party animal.
You wouldn't believe.
You have no idea. You got to come out to Four Peaks and see him in action because it's wild. He just, before we get on air, he just slams 5 beers in like 30 seconds. It's incredible. But make sure to come join us at Four Peaks Brewing Company. We'll be there all day on July 27th. Coyotes, Bets, Suns, Sun Devils, Cardinals. And of course, we are cleaning things up at the end of the day with our final post-series show of this week. And then Jesse's going to be taking over for me while I go off to prance around Southern California. And
you're going to be a guest on my show when you come back.
Oh, man, listen to this. I can't. He's insufferable. Like I said, this
our
is
our show, Jesse.
Our show. Look at this. I'm already usurped. I'm not even going to be a mayor when I come back, but
that's probably true.
Oh, I hate you guys so much. Make sure to enjoy Four Peaks. Even if you don't come down to A Street Pub, go find them near you, your local grocery store, your local convenience store, wherever you get your beer. Must be 21 or older to enjoy and enjoy responsibly. Also, enter our Toast of the Month sweepstakes at gophnx.com. We are bringing you a whole load of fun times with this Toast of the Month sweepstakes. We're giving you a subscription to gophnx.com for an annual membership. We're giving you a free t-shirt at the phnxlocker.com and a $50 gift card to Four Peaks. So check out the Toast of the Month sweepstakes. Good luck to you all. Also, we are giving away this shirt, so make sure to look out for that on our Twitter account. If you haven't followed us already, I don't know how that's possible. We've been badgering people to follow us all week long. Jesse came up with this little idea on Saturday night that we might be able to get to 4,000 followers by the end of this weekend. I thought he was crazy. Here we sit at 4,010. So thank you for believing in us.
You know,
thank you guys for following us.
Sometimes you just gotta ask.
Sometimes that's what it is. So.
You think maybe we should ask for 5,000 by tomorrow?
My God.
You think that's a reasonable request?
You're a monster.
I don't know. Once you get me started, like if I ask for something and I get it, then I don't know. I'm just going to keep asking. So
yeah, for sure.
You guys
for
be careful sure. with catering to the things that we ask for because we might get a little crazy at some point. But.
All right. Well, here's the thing is we got some more questions. But before we get onto those, our friend Chris the Doula, sent us a message on our Discord, which of course you guys can join.
I was getting to that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Me. Jacob is the one asking the questions.
I am driving this bus, Derek.
They do not like when I try to jump in and take over. I backseat drive all the time. I'm a monster, but let's go. What do we got for more questions?
Are you talking about the breakfast question? Is that the one you were going to bring up?
The breakfast question, definitely.
The breakfast question is definitely the right question. Foods have a time of day designation, or are we needlessly limiting our dining pleasure?
She asked, you see, you didn't even get the whole question right in. Breakfast food for lunch is mid, but is elite for dinner, right? So breakfast food, not good for lunch.
That doesn't sound like a question. That sounds
well, that's
like
what she's starting it off with. Breakfast food, not good for lunch.
Oh, that's it. Well,
I don't know, brunch. I eat breakfast when I feel like eating breakfast. Does that?
I eat breakfast very late frequently.
I don't.
So people might call it lunch.
I don't live by your rules. I'm going to eat pancakes when I want to eat pancakes. But she asks, should foods have a time of day designation or are we needlessly limiting our dining pleasure? I will say that breakfast for dinner is elite. And I agree with her.
Breakfast for dinner is universally elite.
Right.
This is true.
But it's as far away from breakfast as you can get. So I think that's why you're like, wow, you're eating eggs and
yeah, there's something you feel like kind of rebellious when you're eating breakfast for dinner. You know?
Like I'm breaking the rules actively. Yeah. And I that's what we're all about is breaking the rules. 100%.
Oh, for sure. 100%.
I will say that putting a fried egg on stuff that's not breakfast and should be allowed at all times. Fried egg as a topping is an elite topping, whether you're talking about on French fries, like poutine, fried egg. You know, that kind of shit. Cheese, that's incredible. Yeah. Fried egg on a hamburger, incredible. Doesn't matter. I will say this, though. Gordon Ramsay, I'm still furious about your restaurant in Las Vegas serving the worst farmhouse burger I've ever had. They didn't put a single, they're not a garlic aioli, nothing on it. You expected the egg to carry the entire weight of sauces on a hamburger. We need to have a talk about that because I got to see where you're coming from in regards to yolk being a sauce for a hamburger, but that's a whole other thing. I have beef with Guy Fieri and now I have beef with Gordon Ramsay. I'm taking on all the chefs and I don't care. By the way, while we're on the topic, Guy Fieri's across from Chase Field.
Uh-huh.
Fucking mid.
Really?
If mid means bad.
Not really the mayor of Flavortown after all.
We need to have a talk, me and the mayor of Flavortown. He didn't even show up. Did you know he appeared by satellite? What kind of mayor? What kind of jurisdiction do you have appearing via satellite? Oh, all right. Well, back to the question. You eat breakfast whenever the hell you feel like. Don't let anybody tell you when you can and can't eat anything. Amen. If you want cookies for breakfast, I want to justify how donuts are okay. Eat your cookies. You want ice cream for breakfast? As long as my daughter is not watching this right now, which she very easily could be because she's home by herself. But you are not allowed to eat ice cream for breakfast, but everybody else is. That's the way that works.
I mean, at this point, like the American cuisine scene has fully embraced eating dessert for breakfast.
Yes.
Like, that's completely normal.
Have you been to IHOP and seen what their specials are?
Oh, absolutely.
We took pancakes and put chocolate chips and whipped cream in between and layered 10 on top.
There's no part of America that truly believes that breakfast is like the most important meal of the day.
No, it's because it's not. It's
if it was, we wouldn't be eating such garbage, which is exactly what we do. But I will say, I do sort of agree that breakfast for lunch is a little weird. They're like, I would eat a breakfast burrito at lunchtime. I would eat a breakfast burrito really whenever because I think they're incredible. But I don't know. Like, breakfast for lunch does sound a little bit strange to me. Am I completely off base with that?
There's literally a fucking word for it being combined with lunch. It's called brunch.
No, but that's different. Like,
how? How is it different?
Because brunch
is
brunch.
At 2 in the afternoon.
Brunch
is
not the same as lunch, though. Lunch is...
Is it because I can get both things at the same time?
Yeah, like brunch is just different. It's, you know...
But I can get a fucking sandwich for breakfast at most places. Like, not a breakfast sandwich. Literally a turkey, bacon, and fucking tomatoes.
Sure, well, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about eating breakfast food for lunch, not eating lunch food for breakfast.
I don't like this.
So
see, Ben says, is that not brunch? Thank you, Ben.
No, it's
fucking
not.
Crazy.
It's not.
And here we are. All right. I don't get it. Like I said, don't listen to these guys.
Brunch is supposed to be
bad opinions are bad opinions.
Brunch is supposed to be like a merging of the two, right?
Sure. So that's just more freedom. All I hear when you say that is I can look at the entire menu and not feel judged about what I'm eating on here. That's what brunch is. See, we should all be brunch. We should all not, you know what I mean?
What on earth?
Quit judging and let people enjoy their lives is what I'm saying. That's what brunch does. Judge you. Brunch says if you want that mimosa that's all champagne with a little spritz of orange juice on top, you can have it. And we're not going to judge you for it. That's why brunch is great.
Yeah, brunch is great.
Brunch
it's not the same as lunch.
Oh, I fucking
it's just
hate
different.
You. I can have lunch at brunch, though.
Jacob, can you voice an opinion here? Can you?
Am I not right?
With
can
me?
You not have
I'm
lunch
be,
at brunch?
I'm going to be really out of here and say that I'm just not a big breakfast person
oh, get
in general.
Wow.
Fuck out of here. Really
that is the last take. Time
take
we asked for Jacob's
and
opinion.
Go. I'll produce the rest of the show myself.
All right.
All right.
All right. I'll leave the room.
Fine.
Actually, please don't leave the room because we'd be utterly lost without you, Jacob. So.
Clutch Canuck says Whataburger's banana shake slays. Limited time, unfortunately. I don't know where that's coming from, but when did we get on Whataburger? I am with it, though. I love Whataburger. So. All right. We got more questions?
We do have more questions. And I actually really liked this question. It goes really in depth. So this is kind of maybe a baseball nerd question. So maybe more for Jesse.
I'll turn it over to Jesse.
All right.
So Larry Jones on Twitter says the D-backs have been criticized for the way they develop pitchers. Fangraphs had a whole paragraph discussing this at the end of their preseason prospect rankings. Since Strom has come aboard, do you know of any changes the team has made in the way that it develops pitching?
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one. So I think it's important to understand, like, Brent Strom is, like, he's in contact with some of the minor league pitching coaches and whatnot. Like, they communicate with each other, but Brent Strom does not work in player development. Like, his job is to be the pitching coach for the major league team. So he's not really talking to, you know, Slade Ciccone or, you know, different guys coming up through the farm system,
right.
At least not on a daily basis. Yeah. Like, he's getting updates, you know, he's certainly communicating.
And to be fair, Brent Strom is so dedicated to this job that it would not surprise me at all if he's compiling data on these guys all the time, keeping it, reviewing it, like having it accessible to him. He loves making these binders on people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We know the story about Zach Gallen.
I'm pretty sure he has one on me.
Met, he probably does.
He does.
He has a binder on everyone. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. But no, it's a really good question because I think it's no secret that the Diamondbacks have really struggled to develop pitching, right? And that's a big part of their progression the next few years is, you know, is Blake Walston going to be like a guy in the rotation? Is Slade Ciccone going to be a guy in the rotation? Is Drew Jameson? Is Ryan Nelson? There's all these guys who are getting close now. The one change that we do know that the Diamondbacks have been very intentional about making is just the continuity factor between the minors and the majors. So even though Brent Strom does not work in player development, he's a major league pitching coach. We know that philosophically they're trying to be a lot more on the same page, like throughout the entire organization. So,
right. And part of that process is that now they have the assistant pitching coaches, Dan Carlson and Barry Enright,
right,
actually rotate back and forth
exactly
between the majors and the minors so that they basically learn from Brent Strom all the time. Like they're implementing Brent Strom's system in the minor league. So Brent is having that that effect on the organization, not just at a major league level, but with those pitching prospects. But at the same time, it's still not, like you said, it's still not him working directly with these guys. It's more of like,
that's just not his job. Like,
right.
That's
not
his primary role.
But by rotating the assistant pitching coaches up through the major league system, it allows them to be around Brent Strom.
Right.
Take those learnings away. They're having conversations. They're talking, I'm sure, at times about the minor league guys and stuff and taking information back.
Yeah, Freeland made a good point in the comments. Freeland 1787. The biggest problem with pitching development is the fact their AAA affiliate is in Reno. And I would add to that, you could make a case that the fact that their AA affiliate is in Amarillo is
also not great.
Yeah, Amarillo, people don't realize the home run park factors of that ballpark are off the charts. So any pitcher giving up a lot of home runs in Amarillo, and I guess the flip side, any hitter hitting a lot of home runs in Amarillo, you really have to take that with a grain of salt because the factors there are just insane. I think it's like 50% more home runs are hit in that ballpark than the average AA ballpark. It's really crazy.
And then when you look at the outlook on all of these pitchers, the pitchers are just like across the board for the Diamondback system are not progressing as hoped.
Yeah.
Right? And a big part of that is the fact that they struggle at AAA.
Yeah.
Struggle at AA.
And it's just so hard to figure out like what's real and what's not. Like if a guy has a 6 ERA in Reno, but you know, he's still at like 9 or 10 Ks per nine and not walking that many guys, it's like maybe he's actually fine. It does feel like an obstacle in identifying where guys are at in their progression when the upper levels of your minor league system just have such inflated offensive numbers. It really is an obstacle. We've talked to the team about this. I want to say it was Brent Strom who we asked about this like maybe about a week or two ago. And he talked about how it's a good litmus test for guys. Like, you know, if you can make it in Reno, you can sort of do anything in some regard. So they see it as an advantage, but it's hard to tell if that's, you know, if that's ultimately the case.
Our friend Jack Summers over at AZ Snakeput has a piece on all of these pitchers. And one thing we talked about on his verdict was that the team right now is behind on promoting Tommy Henry. And that's a name that a lot of people have wanted to see at a major league level. And it's like, after seeing Corbin Martin, I don't see a reason why Tommy Henry wasn't at least given an opportunity. I get it. It's easier for Corbin Martin because he's already on the 40-man roster, and there's just that fact that he's already played in the majors where Tommy Henry
hasn't.
You're
going to, like, go to your, like, your known, more known commodities before you go to the unknown,
but
I guess.
But see, that's where the problem is for me, because at 18 starts, he has a 3.55 ERA in fucking Reno. So
pitched really well there.
That might as well be zero. In any other minor league ballpark.
Yeah, we expect that when Tommy Henry comes up to
he's
the
just
majors,
gonna, he's not going to get any
ever,
hits. He's going to no hit every team. Yeah,
exactly.
All right. I think that's enough. Do we have any more good questions? I mean, we have plenty of good questions. Do you have any more?
I've got a – I mean, there's a couple. Do you guys want one?
Let's do one more.
Do you guys want a fun one? Before we get to that, just a fun fact about Amarillo, so people really – it's the windiest city in America.
Really?
Amarillo, Texas is the windiest city in America.
What?
Average wind speed in Amarillo, Texas is 12.9 miles per hour.
Wait.
Wow.
What's the deal with Chicago then? How do they get that title? What's going on? Do we need to reevaluate?
What is the average wind speed in Chicago?
Yeah, now you got to look
that up. That's what I want to know.
It's not even in the top 10.
Mm.
To be fair.
Not even in the top 10.
I've been to Chicago multiple times, and I was honestly disappointed because it was not windy.
Frauds.
It was like perfectly calm.
You CHGO frauds. We need to have a talk about your windy city. All right. What else we got, Jacob?
I'll go with a fun one. Derek, do you still have your VHS player?
I do have my VHS player still.
That was a question.
That literally was a question?
That was a question.
Not only do I have a VHS player, Jesse, I have a VHS player that has a DVD combo on it, which lets you record back and forth. So I can burn DVDs on one side from a VHS, or if I'm feeling in the mood, I can record a DVD onto a VHS tape. Why would you do that, you might ask? I have no idea, but I have the ability to. That's all what it's about. It's about having the capability to. And yes, I still have a VHS player. This came up because I used to record old episodes of SportsCenter, but it wasn't because I missed them. Like, SportsCenter would play throughout the night. And sometimes when the SportsCenter was particularly good to me, I wanted to record it. And why?
Sure.
Why, you may ask, I wanted to record it? For my collection? I don't know. I don't think I ever went back and watched a single one of them. Ever. Mm. I think I just recorded them with the idea that I was going to, but I never actually
did. To be real, I didn't know that you could record stuff on TV like that. Like, how long have you been able to record stuff on TV? This was like kind of a newer thing.
Are you shitting me? You didn't know VHS fucking recorders could bring, oh my God, really?
No.
Yes, this is what we used to do. They had the ability to like set a timer on them. So if you would miss a program, it would record on VHS for you so that you could come back and watch it at a later time.
Did people do that with DVDs? Did you ever record shows on a DVD? Because I don't remember that.
I think that technology kind of happened pretty quickly. I think we moved from like the whole like burning DVD things to like DVRs existing. Like,
yeah, I've burned a few discs in my life, which is always, why do they call it that? Like,
what, burning a disc?
Yeah.
Because it's a little laser and it actually burns the information onto the disc. It's not like recording it onto it.
Okay.
You're supposed to be the fucking smart one here. Are you shitting me? Oh my God. Anyway.
I'm young and ignorant. What can I say? I don't know anything about your old technology.
I feel smart and old right now is what I feel. I'll say wise. I will say I feel wise.
There you go.
Are we good?
Do you want a baseball one or do you want to end on that?
I think we should end on that. Yeah, I have nothing more to offer anybody after that. This guy's drained me of all of my energy. He's a vampire, an energy vampire, by the way, if you're familiar with what we do in the shadows. But thank you for being. Yeah, you just drained me of all of my energy. I just can't go on right now. But thank you guys for being here, being in the chat. Of course, make sure to go check out our friends at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. If you haven't done so already, sign up if you're a new customer. Use our promo code of PHNX When you make your first deposit, you'll get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. Use it on a slam dunk bet. Sometimes there's crazy stuff. This weekend, they had a promotion, Jesse, where you could bet up to $25 on the Dodgers to get a hit. And you would get get double your money. That was a free $25. You mean to tell me the Dodgers weren't going to get a hit? Come on. So you
As long as Jake Lamb's in the lineup.
Yeah, Jake Lamb's in the lineup, we're good. But of course, make sure to go get yourself a guaranteed bet like that if you're going to risk up to $1,000. That way, make sure to make your money. And if you don't, you'll get that money back in a risk-free bet. That's promo code PHNX only at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. And of course, there's a wonderful set of things to bet on over at the DraftKings Sportsbook. There was a basketball game to bet on there, Jesse, that I don't even know what league it was.
Yeah.
It didn't even have like a real league name. I think it just said the tournament is what it said it was. And it was literally like, guys pickles against something. Like it would sound like, you know, a rec league. So if I can bet on rec league basketball, that makes me happier than anything else in the world. I don't know why, but I find that very entertaining. Not only DraftKings, but make sure to check out our new friends over at FOCO. I know you guys are missing the bobbleheads in your life, and you can go over and get those bobbleheads because they make the best sports merchandise and collectibles. FOCO has you covered with all of the Arizona merchandise, no matter what team you're looking for. They have officially licensed gear for men, women, kids, your dog, everything from bobbleheads to swimsuits to Crocs. The bobbleheads are incredible. They have limited edition bobbleheads from the All-Star Game. Jesse, there is just bonkers stuff. They have all the City Connect bobbleheads. And again, I know you guys miss those bobbleheads in your life. So head on over to foco.com. That's FOCO.com. Click the link below in our description if you're listening to us. For all non-presale items, you can use the promo code PHNX and get yourself 10% off of that bobblehead that you want. Get it in your life over at FOCO. Of course, it feels like everything is like being condensed down as far as fan gear and stuff, right? So it's like we need more people creating more amazing fan gear, and especially, I'm telling you, the City Connect bobbleheads. They have the San Diego City Connect. They're all up to date on all the City Connect jerseys. So
we need a Serpientes.
Yeah, we need a Serpientes like bobblehead right for there. Sure. Yeah. A little idol to Varsho, the guy with all the tools. That's our
guy. Do they have every single player? Do they pick
They still pick just a couple of limited players. Okay. But I mean, we're getting to a point where we can make ourselves into a bobblehead. That's what
Wait, really?
I think so.
We can make ourselves into a bobblehead.
Oh yeah. Again,
with a Serpientes jersey.
Remember I said I was gonna get you this for Christmas. It's gonna be a bobblehead of me. You're gonna love it. It's gonna be awesome. But
wait, it's a bobblehead of you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's
so that I can be with you at all times. I know that's a big deal. Right.
I thought you were going to get one of me, which would have been kind of cool. I don't know if I want like a little Derek floating around. But you know, you give it to me. You know, I'll keep it for a while.
I know. Just don't break it is all I ask. But we thank you guys again for joining us. Of course, make sure to check out all of our sponsors, all of our friends. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at @Cap_Caveman with a K. Jesse is at Jesse N. Friedman. Our show is at @PHNX_DBAX. But of course, all roads lead to @PHNX_sports. Again, Mailbag Monday, huge success. We thank you guys for being here. Happy to answer your questions. On behalf of Jesse and myself, we always appreciate your time. And remember, kids, baseball is fun, but it's so much more fun when Jesse has to watch movies that I make him watch.